Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome, Joe McGee, talking about the heroes of faith. We're going from Genesis to Revelation, every story about all the great people, the men and women of the Bible who make up the stories of the Bible, the ones that God chose to illustrate that he is a good God and that he responds to faith. So today we're picking up with Jacob and his dream. We just left off with Jacob and Esau, you know, fighting for their dad's blessing. You know, Esau should have got it. He was the eldest. But mama got involved and tricked dad into laying hands on the younger son. And so he's got the blessing, because once he laid hands, you know, Isaac's lost his sight. He can't see. And so mom tricked him into laying hands on the wrong kid, put fake skin on him, made him smell skanky like an old goat. And, fixed him his favorite meal, and so he gave the blessing. And the blessing is just, it's not a nice thing. There's concrete to the blessing. You just don't throw it around, because once he gave it, it's a done deal, and it's his. So we're going to pick up in Genesis chapter 27. Jacob's run out of the room. Esau realizes he didn't get the blessing. Dad finally prayed a little doodah blessing over, but it wasn't anything. And so, man, he's mad. He said, man, my dad dies, I'm going to kill my brother Jacob. And so he's already made his mind up. So that's where we are in the middle of this thing. So starting in Genesis 27, around verse 40, about 42, says, Rebekah heard that Esau planned to kill Jacob as soon as their father had died. So she sent for Jacob at once. You got to go away, he told him. It's not safe here. I'm going to send you to my brother Laban, who lives in Haran. Perhaps Esau will forget his anger. Then you can come back for me, for why should I lose both you and your father? Rebekah did not tell Isaac that she was afraid that Esau had killed Jacob. Instead, she told her blind husband, I'm very unhappy because our son Esau has married a Canaanite. We've got Canaanite wives. If Jacob did what I couldn't even go and live with him. Jacob did that, so I can't stand it. So let's send him away. So Jacob said goodbye to his mother and his blind old father before starting on his long journey. He traveled alone. He was afraid of Esau. Jacob wondered, you know, is he ever going to be able to go back home? Is he ever going to forgive me? Will this ever work out? So what was the birthright now? What good is it? I got a birthright, but it doesn't do any good. I'm not home. So he could not wait, you know, for Isaac to die to get the double share of his father's wealth. For then Esau would kill him. So now he's poor. He's discouraged. He doesn't know where he's going. He's so unhappy. My life was really good. My mom suckered me into doing something, and now I'm a nobody. I got nothing. I can't even live at home. You know, what did my mom do to me? And so don't think he's not having thoughts. So as he climbed up the rocky slopes of Canaan, perhaps Jacob was afraid that Esau was already looking for him. Perhaps he was sorry that he had tricked his old father now. You know, he never thought he'd ever see his father again. Perhaps he was so sorry. He's even sorry that he bought, you know, Esau's birthright. Now, Esau sold it to him. It was a legitimate deal. Remember, he was hunting one day. He came back and, you know, Jacob's got a bowl of soup. And his brother said, hey, give me some soup. I've been hunting all day. Hadn't caught a thing. I'm starving. And so he said, I'll tell you what, Jacob said, I'll save the soup, or I'll give you the soup if you'll give me your birthright. And so legitimately, Esau did give away his birthright for a bowl of soup, because it didn't mean anything for him. Because as the eldest, he would get the double blessing, the double portion. But the reason the eldest son got the double portion of everything over his brothers and sisters was because he would become the head of his family. And so he would become responsible for the orphans, for the widows, for somebody died, somebody got sick. That double portion of money isn't yours. That extra double portion of the inheritance is for you to help your brothers and sisters who are in need. And so Esau thought, I don't want to help anybody except my own thumb-sucking self. I don't care about them. And so that's the way he thought. So when the sun went down, Jacob felt even lonelier. He was very tired. and chose a stone rock for his pillow. He wrapped his cloak around him and just lay down on the ground to sleep. But he dreamed a wonderful dream, a ladder that reached up to heaven. Beautiful angels were going up and down the ladder, and God was standing at the top of the ladder. Jacob dreamed that God spoke to him and said, "I am the God of your grandfather Abraham and the God of your father Isaac. The land upon which you are lying I will give to you and to your descendants, and your descendants shall be as many as the dust of the earth. Through your family I will bless all people. I will bless you. I'll protect you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land. I will never leave you until I fulfill this promise." Jacob woke up from the dream, and he looked around. Although he saw no one, he felt sure that God was there. In the morning, he set up the stone that he used for a pillow, poured oil upon it, and consecrated it to God. And he called the place Bethel, which means the house of God. Then he promised to give back God a tenth of everything if God would go with him and bless him. After this wonderful dream, Jacob's heart must have felt lighter and a little more pep to his step moving up. He hurried on his way. Every day he got closer to the end of his long journey and through the desert. One evening he saw men in a field near a well. Around them were three flocks of sheep waiting to be watered. He came near and he asked the men, "Where are you from?" They said, "We're from Haran." At last Jacob was near his uncle's Laban's home. "Do you know a man named Laban?" he asked eagerly. "Yes, we know him," they said. Here comes his daughter Rachel with his sheep. And so this girl walks up. Jacob was saw a beautiful young shepherdess come to the well. Man, she's tan and she's looking good. She's healthy. And so he hurried to meet her. So he rolled the stone away from the well and watered her sheep. Then he said, "I am one of your relatives, the son of your father's sister, Rebekah." Jacob was glad to see a relative after such a long journey. And he kissed Rachel, and the tears rolled down his cheeks. Rachel hurried home to tell her father that Rebekah's son had come home from Canaan and was at the well of his sheep. Now it says, when Laban heard that, you know, that Jacob had arrived, he hurried to welcome him. Now Laban was so happy to meet him, his sister Rebekah and her favorite son. First, he was very kind to Jacob. Jacob helped his uncle. By the end of the month, Laban said, "I tell you what, let me pay you for your work. How much do you want?" Jacob replied, "Well, I'll tell you what. I will serve you faithfully for 7 years if you will give me your beautiful daughter Rachel to be my wife." Jacob loved Rachel, wanted to marry her. He loved her so much that 7 years seemed like only a few days. When the 7 years were up, Jacob reminded his uncle of their agreement. Laban arranged a marriage feast and invited many friends to the wedding. It's a packed tent that night. In the evening, he brought the bride to Jacob. A veil covered her face so no one could see her. This was the custom. After the ceremony, Jacob wanted to see his bride. He lifted the veil, but it was not beautiful Rachel whom he loved. Instead, it was her older sister, Leah. Man, he was frustrated. How unhappy was his uncle had tricked him. Perhaps Jacob remembered how he had tricked his blind father and cheated his brother out of the blessing. He thought, "I've sowed and I'm reaping. I am reaping what I have sowed." So Jacob demanded of Laban, he said, "What have you done to me? Didn't I work 7 years for Rachel? Then why did you cheat me?" Laban said, "Well, it's not the custom in our country to let the younger daughter marry first. You will serve me for 7 more years, and then you may have Rachel for your wife." So this guy's been working 14 years to get this woman. There's people who wouldn't date somebody for 14 weeks, not even let alone wait 14 years. I mean, this is an incredible story. So in those days, most men had several wives. Because Jacob loved Rachel, he decided to work for her too. Now Rachel too became his wife. After 14 years, Jacob wanted to return to Canaan. Laban didn't want to let him go. "So while you've been with me," he said, "the Lord has blessed me for your sake." Now this is his uncle talking. "While you have been with me, the Lord has blessed me for your sake." I know why I'm blessed. It's because you're with me. I know why I've gotten wealthier and things are going good. It's because you're part of the deal. And I know that. I'm not ignorant of that thing. So, what's fascinating, says, Jacob said, "Well, how am I supposed to provide for my family?" Laban agreed to let Jacob have part of the cattle and sheep and goats. So Jacob separated from Laban's herd and took care of his cattle and his sheep while he looked over at Laban's flocks. And God blessed Jacob and increased his possessions. Jacob became rich. At the time, Jacob was his father. Jacob was the father of 11 sons and a daughter. He's been multiplying, man. He's dropping babies like rainwater in heaven. He's getting rich every day. The blessings of God, are, the Bible says, are yes and amen. And boy, he's realizing. He's living it out, and he's finding it to be the truth. Because Jacob became rich, Laban's sons were jealous. They said, Jacob's got his riches, dishonestly. Laban, too, began to feel envious of his new son-in-law. The angel of God spoke to Jacob in a dream. He said, I am the Lord God of Bethel, where you anointed the stone and made a promise to me. He said, the time has come for you to return to your people in Canaan. I will be with you. But Jacob was afraid Laban would not let him take Leah and Rachel far off to Canaan. Jacob decided to go away secretly. So he waited for Laban, who went to shear his sheep. It's a time-consuming thing. Then he called Leah and Rachel out into the field and said, hey, your father no longer feels kindly toward me. God has told me to return to Canaan. We are ready to go, they replied. God is with you. Well, busy days followed. Jacob got ready to start out the long road. He had traveled 20 years earlier. The sheep and the goats, the cattle and the camels were all brought to him from the fields. The servants drove the animals while Jacob's wives and his children rode on camels. Across the fields they went. And onto the road, which would wind along the lone wilderness. Wild mountains were on one side, on the other side a dreary desert. Sand stretched out into space. Finally, they came to a place called Mount Gilead, where they stopped to rest. Things were happening back in Haran. Someone told Laban that Jacob had gone away and taken everything he owned. How angry Laban was. I will overtake him, he decided. Perhaps he planned to make Jacob return to Haran. He took several men and hurried after Jacob's company. For 7 days they followed fast. And at last they saw the tents of Jacob, and they pinched at Mount Gilead. Before they reached Gilead, God warned Laban not to harm Jacob. God caused Laban's anger to cool down. Who did? God. Anybody got a relative that's mad at you? You got a boss that's mad at you? You got a relatives or neighbor maybe that's mad at you. God, the Bible says God caused their anger to calm down. Can God do that? Well, evidently he can. He's no respecter of persons. If God did it for one person, he'll do it for another. God caused their anger to cool down. Man, that is a great scripture. Afterward, Jacob set up a stone for a pillar. And the other men gathered stones together up in a heap. Laban called the heap stones Mizpah, which means a watchtower. And then he said to Jacob, may God watch over us while we were absent from each other. Then bidding his daughters and his children a loving goodbye, he started back home for Haran. Jacob and his family traveled toward Canaan. And so he's off to meet his brother. Of course, his mind's running 90 miles an hour. Is my brother still going to hate me? Maybe my brother wants to kill me. What's my brother going to do? And so, And starting around chapter 32, if you read on through the story, it said, you know, even though 20 years have gone by since Jacob ran away from Canaan, he never forgot his fear of Esau, the older brother, the redheaded kid, the athlete, the get it all done. What if Esau never forgave him? What if Esau still wanted to kill him? So God knew about Jacob's fears. God knew about Jacob's fears. There's so many things, one-liners. One time when I was going through teaching chapel all those years, pulled out all these one-liners about what God did. God caused, you know, divine favor to come on one. God knew that he was afraid. When Gideon was so afraid, he sent him down to sneak down to the enemy's camp, and Gideon listened in on the conversation with two guys. What the two guys were talking about, how fearful they were of Gideon and his men. And so he thought, because God knows what we're thinking. I don't care what you're going through. God knows what you're thinking, what you're feeling, what you're planning, what you're not planning. The Bible says, roll your cares over to God, for God cares for you. God cares for where you're at, what you're doing, what you're thinking. God's already got a way out. Whatever situation you're in right now today, God has already made a way out of it. God saw the trouble coming before your mother ever met your father. God is eternal. There's no time in heaven. God sees you 5 minutes from now. He sees you 5 days from now. He sees you 5 years from now. God is good. He's always thinking. He's always working. So roll your cares over to God, for he cares for you. So Esau no longer lived in Canaan. It says his family had moved to the country of Edom. south and east of the Dead Sea. When these messengers told him that Jacob was coming, and that he would come and meet Jacob and bring 400 men with him. So now Jacob is terribly afraid and saying, oh my goodness, my brother's coming. He's got an army with him. He's probably going to kill me dead. And so he sends a lot of gifts and stuff out front. And so he sends cattle and sheep. He even sends his wives and his kids out front. And so he's the last one to come to meet Esau. He's thinking, I hope he's not as mad. I hope he's calmed down. I'll send him some gifts. Maybe I can bribe him. Maybe I can buy him off. He's got a lot of thoughts going on. Now, this is God's man here. God uses normal people. This is God's guy. And so he's coming out, and all of a sudden, the sun's coming up tomorrow, and they're going to meet. So what we're going to do, we'll pick this up next time, because this is an incredible story, what God does to those two boys. Guys, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.